From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Quality Education Act will be on the November 8th ballot. It will likely appear as Proposition 1. Organizers from the nonprofit group Reclaim Idaho successfully qualified the initiative to appear before voters come November. Well, there are some questions now over whether or not the education funding ballot initiative could have unintended consequences, that being reversing the Idaho legislature's 2022 tax cuts, which could increase taxes for low-income families, that according to state officials. So joining us today to talk more is Luke Mayville, founder of Reclaim Idaho. Luke, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Gemma, for having me.
So before we get into the issue of taxes, can you quickly just tell us what the Quality Education Act is?
Well, Idaho is currently dead last out of 50 states in funding for K through 12 public education. And it's not just that we're dead last, it's that we're facing a real crisis level teacher shortage where there are over 700 unfilled teaching positions in Idaho, and 51% of teachers say that they're considering leaving the profession. Just a little while ago, I heard from a star math teacher in Sandpoint High School, where I grew up and where I attended. He just left and took a job in Washington State, where he's earning $20,000 more per year. So we've got a real crisis on our hands. The Quality Education Act, which will be Proposition 1 in November, is a direct attempt to address that crisis. It will increase funding for K through 12 education by over $300 million a year. And that funding can go directly towards better pay for teachers, better pay for support staff, and also efforts to strengthen K through 12 programs.
So Luke, you mentioned that the goal of this is to raise more than $300 million per year for schools, for public schools. How then will the money be allocated? How would it be used? I mean, you mentioned it could be used for, you know, go directly towards teacher pay, but who would make those decisions?
Well, there would be local control by school districts regarding how to spend those dollars, but they would have to work within a list of priorities that are all listed out in the initiative. And that includes better compensation for teachers and support staff, and a list of programs that are currently underfunded. That includes special ed, it includes arts and music. And importantly, it also includes things like welding, carpentry, ag science, the types of career technical programs that give kids a chance to make a living when they graduate.
Okay, so as you mentioned, there are parameters around how the money can be spent.
That's right. There's some amount of flexibility because the needs are not the same, you know, in the Boise district as they are in rural districts across the state, for example. But there are clear parameters and limits on how the money can be spent.
If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with Luke Mayville. He is the founder of Reclaim Idaho. We're talking about the Quality Education Act, which did qualify to be on the November 8th ballot for voters to vote on. So, Luke, I want to talk a little bit about some issues that have potentially come up regarding taxes. So let me explain for our listeners how this ballot initiative would work if it passes. As Reclaim Idaho mentioned, the intention would be it would raise about $320 million per year for public schools. It would do this by increasing corporate income tax rates from 6% to 8%, and then it would create a new 10.9, it's almost 11% tax rate for individuals who make more than $250,000 per year, or if you're a married couple, making more than $500,000 per year. So with that said, on July 14th, there was an article from the Tax Foundation and an email written by the Idaho Attorney General's office. And what it suggested was that the Quality Education Act could raise taxes for all Idahoans who pay income tax, including low-income people, and it could raise more revenue than expected because it does not factor in the tax cut package that the Idaho legislature passed during the opening days of the 2022 session. So I know, Luke, that's a lot to take in there. But the Attorney General's office did agree that this could have did agree with that assessment. So talk to us about your, you know, your thoughts on this, because we do need to say your group put all of this together, put your initiative together before the 2022 session began.
That's right. And I just want to point out at the very beginning that the Attorney General has issued an opinion, but it's merely an opinion. And we've already heard from very different opinions issued, for example, by former Chief Justice of the Idaho Supreme Court, Jim Jones, and also mm-hmm. by Mike Nugent, who was the chief bill drafter for legislative services in Idaho for 26 years. So, but let me just, and let me clarify one other point. The design of the initiative, we do add a new tax bracket for those earning over $250,000 per year. But what everyone should understand is that new tax rate only applies to the amount they make above $250,000. So if you barely make $250,000, your first $250,000 will not be impacted by this initiative. But now getting to the larger point you made, Gemma, it's very clear if you read the text of our initiative that only income above $250,000 will be impacted. And anyone can go and read the initiative online at on the Secretary of State's website. And what they'll see is that it's only the top tax bracket that's underlined in the initiative text. And so this is the only bracket that will be altered by the initiative. There's more background language in the initiative, but it's not underlined. And that's the key point that everyone can see for themselves if they read the text. Again, the Attorney General has released an email that they wrote a couple weeks ago. But it's important to keep in mind that the AG has lost dozens of cases in recent years, and especially when it comes to ballot initiatives. Just last year, when the legislature passed a bill that would have dramatically restricted the initiative process, the AG actually found that that legislation was perfectly okay. They called it constitutional. But the Idaho Supreme Court then turned around and found that that same law violated the fundamental rights of Idahoans. So the AG has mm-hmm. been wrong many times, and we believe they're clearly wrong in this case as well.
So what about, Luke, what the Attorney General's office is suggesting about changes to this initiative? And one includes defining what they call adjustment factor. Now, I don't want to get too into the weeds on this because it's even, I mean, it's kind of over my head in a way, but I do think it's important that we discuss this. So what they suggest is that you have language that states that the adjustment factor is calculated by dividing the consumer price index for the calendar year of 2024 by the consumer price index for the calendar year immediately preceding the calendar year to which the adjusted bracket will apply. I am not a lawyer. I'm not a mathematician. But what they are saying that it's basically flipping the numerator and the denominator and then adjusting it. And so with that said, we wouldn't necessarily see these potential tax increases for lower income people.
Well, I don't want to get two in the weeds here, but the really important point about the inflation adjustment issue is that there is a typo in the initiative that originated with the Attorney General's office. Listeners should be aware that, you know, when you put an initiative out to get signatures, that before you do that, you have to go through a complicated process where the Attorney General's office reviews the language of the initiative. Well, they mm-hmm. reviewed the language of the initiative about a year ago. We had the inflation numbers exactly correct. The Attorney General's office recommended that we change them. And the change that they recommended included a typo in it. They haven't actually come out on record and admitted that mistake yet. We expect them to probably do that sometime soon. But that's something that listeners need to be aware of, is that there's a small typo in the initiative that actually originated with the Attorney General's office. And it's really not much cause for concern, because it can be easily amended by a one-word amendment, should that be necessary.
But with that said, you cannot change the language of anything on this initiative because you got it, if I'm understanding this correctly, because you got it approved based on the language of the initiative that you wrote a year ago, correct?
That's right. The language cannot be changed prior to the November election. But should the initiative pass, it will not, that language will not have an immediate impact on how the initiative works. It would have an impact over a, you know, the course of several years. But again, all it would take is a one word amendment. And we're prepared to work with legislators to provide a draft of that amendment. We expect the Attorney General might recommend an amendment, considering that the original typo actually came from their office.
So if the AG's office recommends an amendment, can that amendment be placed on the ballot, or would this have to pass and then an amendment happens if it passes?
It would have to be, the amendment would have to take place afterwards. But in the grand scheme of things, it's really important to note that that issue, along with other issues, really do not change the basic framework of the initiative. Mm-hmm. And what people ultimately are voting on is whether they want to do something about the real crisis level teacher shortage we're facing in Idaho, and the fact that Idaho is 50th out of 50 states in funding for education, and we're not giving our kids the opportunities that they deserve.
Well, with that said, Luke, I mean, how concerned are you in your organization about this information coming out and what's potentially being calling a bit of a wrinkle in the plan when it comes to taxes? And I ask this question because we are basically, you know, heading towards a recession, if not, we're already in one. Some people already struggle tremendously to make ends meet. And you, when I think anything comes out that says your taxes may be more, in particular, if you are low income, that is scary. It is one thing to say, if you make $250,000, we're not even going to, your tax bracket, and nothing's going to change in your taxes unless it's above that 250 mark, right? That's a lot of money. Most Idahoans don't make $250,000 a year. So what is your concern level about this?
Well, we are not concerned at all about the issue of the tax brackets because, again, anyone who wants to go and read the initiative, they can find it on the Secretary of State's website. And the initiative makes very clear that only income above $250,000 a year will be impacted. Now, as we've discussed, there's a misreading of the initiative that claims that other income would be impacted. But if you read the initiative, it's very clear. The only underlined part of the tax code is income above $250,000 a year. So what Idaho voters face is a very clear decision. Are they willing to modestly increase taxes on the highest income earners in Idaho and on corporations in order to invest in a better future for our kids?
And my last question for you, if voters pass the Quality Education Act in November, legislators will likely play a role in how it's implemented. And as with any law, legislators can amend this initiative. They can repeal it, in fact, and we have precedents for that in this state. What is your plan if it is repealed?
Well, we will work as hard as we can against any repeal. This same issue came up a couple years ago when we succeeded in spearheading the signature drive for Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. And that passed in November. And a lot of people were fearful that that would be repealed. It didn't work because legislators understood that this was something the majority of Idaho voters believed in, and they weren't willing to repeal it. In the event that there were some kind of repeal, the only option we would have is to work as hard as we can to make sure that the public is aware of what's happened and to make sure that the public is fully aware that their legislators have directly gone against the will of their own voters. But we are hopeful that it won't come to that point, because if the voters stand up and say, yes, we are willing to vote to increase funding for K-12 education because we're really concerned about this crisis in our state where we're not giving our kids the opportunity they deserve. If the people of Idaho stand up and vote in that way, the legislators are going to listen and they're going to be reluctant to go directly against the will of their own voters.
Well, Luke, as always, I appreciate you coming on the program and talking about this. We've been speaking with Luke Mayville. He is the founder of Reclaim Idaho, discussing the Quality Education Act. It will appear before voters on the November 8th ballot. It needs a simple majority to pass. Again, Luke, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Jemma.